Let's begin in a word of prayer. So, dear Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your goodness and your grace that you have just lavished upon us in Christ Jesus. We just thank you, God, just for all that you have given us in this world, the common grace that we experience each day, in the very air that we breathe, and in the lives that we live, Lord, and in also your Son, Jesus Christ, as being children of you, redeemed, Lord. And I just pray that we might just reflect upon your gospel each day, and that that might just motivate us all the more to tell others about who you are, Lord. May we do all things for the sake of the elect, as John preached on this morning in 2 Timothy, and may we just seek to declare who you are in all that we say, do, and think. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today is going to be a really simple lesson. Kind of the motivation for this is, as I'm beginning as an associate pastor here, I'm kind of looking over evangelism and different things. We went out to the farmer's market a week ago. Wasn't a week ago, Laren? Laren's had a very exhausting week. He was at Johnny and Friends. How did that go?
It went well.
Yeah?
Obviously, you know, we will never unexperience something of that nature.
Hmm.
And just kind of for the first time in our life, really trying to grasp and understand disabilities and the people with them.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that was really impacting to us in that, witnessing that for really our first time.
Hmm.
And it was really good.
Good, good. So for you who are unfamiliar with Johnny and Friends, it is an organization by Johnny Sentada who has organized a thing for parents to be able to drop off their kids with special needs for like...
We were there all week, but they don't actually drop them off.
Or like are there, yeah. Yeah.
and things that, as a family, they're not really able to enjoy as much as what we normally would, having typical children. And so it's just a respite time for them, a week that they're there, and they're just pampered and served, and their disabled child is cared for by one person that takes them there all day. Anyways, it was good.
Yeah. It's huge, because as we think about evangelism, we think about these different people groups and everything. Laren and I went and we talked to the Johnny and Friends kind of meeting at Whitney Baptist Church last year, and they talked about how unreached these people groups who have special need kids are, to the fact that special needs kids, on average, will never even receive one phone call from someone outside their family once a year. So once a year, no one will ever reach out to them and do it. The parents are continually going to the hospital. The parents never can take a night off. It is 24/7 constantly. They witnessed where even parents who went to this weekly event, before they went to the event, the husband said, well, it was like, this is our last family outing because I'm leaving this family after this week. And then all of a sudden they went to the event, and then after that week, he's like, I finally have kind of hope again that we can keep on doing this, because it's just the continual grind day in and day out. So it's really cool to see that. And we were thinking last year, how can we be evangelizing more? Who can we be reaching? And there's people groups like this that we see that are unseen, that are around us all the time, that we need to be reaching out to. As I said, last week we went out to the farmer's market. That was another area of evangelism that we've been reaching out to and trying to think through. It's really cool. We were probably able to interact with, 50 to 100 people. I base that off of tracks, water bottles, and everything else. And so I think we were probably around 50 to 100 different people. We were able to share the gospel with some. Others we were able just to talk with, pray with. And if you guys are interested in that, it was a blast. I had a lot of fun with Laren and... Luann was there, and we had a great time. Our next one is the beginning of September. And so here's a church we really want to be mobilized for the gospel. We're going to have time slots on the first Saturday of September. I think it's, or second Saturday, because maybe I think it's the 8th, because I think September 1st is on a Saturday. It's either the 1st or 2nd that we're going to be doing. There's going to be time slots, and you can just come for 1 hour and just stand there, hand out water bottles. We have how can we pray for you and information about our church. And you can ask them, like, hey, do you live in Nampa? Do you have a local church? And then all of a sudden, you're all of a sudden talking about church with people, which inevitably involves God. So it's pretty easy entrance into a conversation with people. So please come. It's really laid back. It's a lot of fun. And I really want to help mobilize you guys to evangelize the lost and to reach them. And so today, that is along that trend of mobilizing our body. And I thought I would seize the opportunity to talk about how to effectively evangelize, okay? So let me see if I can get this clicker to work. All right. So how many of you guys like fishing? Okay, so most men, a lot of guys, love fishing. I know my father-in-law, John, loves fishing. Laren likes fishing. Edgar, you said you like fishing, right? Yeah. So most typically we love fishing. Now, we can go out and we can go fishing in a variety of different ways. So John loves fly fishing. Where I come from, there's no fly fishing at all because there's no rivers. There's just lakes and ponds in the Midwest. And so you can maybe set out traps. You can have just a normal spinner. You can have all these different things that you're doing. You can be trolling. You can be doing lots of different varieties of things. You can have certain kinds of baits, methods, certain ways to cast underneath certain things. And a guy can be showing you all day, like, hey, this is how you do these certain fishing techniques. This is how you go about these things in order to get fish. This is what you might do in order to bring in a large pool of fish. Maybe throw out a net, drag it behind the boat for a while, you'll catch something. And there's a variety of different ways to catch fish. But what if there was one way? What if there is one person who said, hey, if you do this, you will catch fish 100% of the time. Or you will be catching fish if you do this. I mean, I think for us as fishermen, that would get us excited. Because there's some lakes, I tell you what, since I moved out here to Idaho, I have literally caught 2 fish my whole entire time here. Now, I haven't been as fishing as much as I used to, but I think they just hate me here. I don't understand. I've been on lakes with John all day, and I've like caught like 1 fish. And then I've been on kayaks all day, caught no fish. Been at rivers, been everywhere, and maybe it's what I'm using. But if someone told me, hey, you come out and you do this, you will catch fish, or we will be fishing, and it's going to be successful, I would be like, okay. I'm going to sign me up. I'm going to go do that. So today, we're going to talk about how Christ is the ultimate fisherman. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:19. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Wow, that is very small. All right. So I want to ask you guys a question. What is the truth or the promise in this statement? Make an if-then statement. If this, then that. So what is Christ saying? What is the promise that we see here? Okay, the action of fishing, if you follow Christ, then what? Then you will fish. He will make you a fisher of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? So inversely, what might be the inverse truth or the reverse truth of this? If you don't follow Christ, you won't be a fisher of men if you aren't following him. So isn't this an amazing statement that Christ is making? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, Christ doesn't lie. It's a guarantee. If you follow me, I'm going to make you into a guy who's going to be fishing for men. you're going to be fishing. And guess what? Christ is the ultimate fisherman. He has a 100% success rate. He doesn't miss out on any of his sheep. He doesn't miss out on anything. He is the one who is effective in what he does, and he's going to get it done. But if we aren't following Christ, if we aren't following him, then we're not going to be fishing for men. And so today we're going to be focusing on and reflecting upon this verse and really central truths that we can be gathering from it in our own personal lives. And I want us to be focusing on throughout this time, I want you to be asking personally, where is my treasure? Where is my heart? How am I following Christ? And if I am following Christ, am I missing opportunities that he's laying out in front of me today to be fishing for men? Okay, so what else can we infer from this statement? Edgar. You'll have everlasting life? Okay, yeah. Christ is the giver of eternal life. What else? He is the one that makes us a fisher. Yeah. He is the one who equips us to do it. He is the master fisherman who trains us how. And so we need to be spending time with him. We need to be with him and engage with him. If we want to be effective in the gospel and effectively reaching people, we need to be engaged with Christ. We need to be actively following him. Okay. So I want us to be thinking then, okay, so if we're called to be like Christ, if we're called to be following him, our calling we see in the Bible is to be like God. I want us to look up a couple references here. Can someone look up Romans 8:29? Laren, could you start off with that one? King, could you do 2 Corinthians 3:18? Who else has got a Bible here? Bill? Can you do Colossians 2, 6 through 7? And Tony, can you do 1 Peter? Thank you. Okay, so turn to Romans 8, 29 first. And Laren, you can read that whenever you're ready.
For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers.
Okay. So what did he predestine to be what? Can you say a little bit louder? Conformed to the image of his son. So God predestined us that we might be conformed to the image of Christ, okay? That we might become like Jesus Christ. Okay, what's the next verse? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Okay, so what do we observe from this verse? What is happening to us as believers?
Transformation and by witnessing him, by understanding him.
Yeah, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. Isn't this amazing, by the way? That God, through God, the Holy Spirit working inside of us, is transforming us into the nature, the image of Christ. We are becoming like Christ. That those who are in Christ, God is actively working on you today. Whether or not you recognize it, he is actively working on you and conforming you to his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Who has that one? Okay, so as we received Christ Jesus, what are we to do in him? We are to walk in him. Okay, And let's do our last one. Tony, 1 Peter. Okay, so we are to be what?
Holy.
Why?
Holy.
Okay, so we see throughout this, we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are to be like God. We are to be holy because He is holy. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers and men." We are to be following Him and becoming like God, like Jesus. So that means that even in our living, and then our observation of Scripture is to be transforming us. The Holy Spirit is to be working on us, conforming us into the image of Christ, and we are to be like Christ. Well, what did Christ do? He caught men. He did, and He did it in a variety of ways. How did Jesus go about evangelizing when He was here on earth? How did He go about catching men? He what? He was among them? Okay, how was He among them? No, it's not. It's not. There's lots of different answers probably you could say, right? How did Jesus catch men? Okay, he abided with them. He traveled with them. He ate with them. He sent them out. Okay. He did call. Yes. He healed? Yeah, He showed them what He can do. I just wrote down a couple. He was with them along the way. He evangelized with them while He was with them along the way. He proclaimed the truth to them. He talked to people in private. You think about the woman of the well in John chapter 4. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. He was with him in private. He performed various miracles and signs and evangelizing in people in those ways by different actions that He was doing. And He lived for the will of the Father, and in that He was continually, He said, "My food is to do the will of my Father, to do the will of Him who sent me." I mean, He was so driven on an evangelistic purpose that to where Him inside His own human body in John chapter 4, He is at this well with this woman, and He's sharing with her about eternal water, about eternal springs that will never run dry. He then, when the disciples come back, and they knew He was weary, because you can read that, I think, in verse 4 of John chapter 4, when they come back and He's weary, they're like, "All right, Jesus, you need to be eating." And He's like, "I have food that you guys don't know about. And that is the food of doing the will of His Father who sent Him." And it's amazing to observe that God in His human form, in His human frailty, was so driven on evangelism, so driven that even in those moments of being weary, I mean, He feels it. When you guys are hungry, you feel it. I mean, I'm feeling it right now. I had a light breakfast and it's like, it's here. But He was so driven on mission that's what He was preoccupied about. That's what He was thinking about. That's what He was doing in the moment. And Jesus caught men in a variety of ways. He was continually on mission. How has God been evangelistic throughout the Bible? How have we seen God evangelizing, sharing the good news, gospeling, throughout the whole entire Bible? Okay, the apostles, yep. Sending out the apostles, He's commissioning them, empowering them by the Holy Spirit. Yes?
He showed up.
He showed up, okay. He literally, He came down. He came down to earth. God is evangelist. He came down into this world and became flesh and dwelt among us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." What else? Where else do we see Him evangelizing?
Jonah?
Okay.
Yeah, the people that was on the ship with Him now believing in the one true God, and then we have the whole city of Nineveh repenting.
Yeah. He sends Jonah. Jonah, who runs away, we've been talking about this in youth group, Jonah runs away, and it's the irony of a Jew running away and all these Gentiles continually turning back to God. And at the end, he is so mad at God. And God's like, shouldn't I have compassion on a city that is full of so many people and of animals and things? And it's amazing. We see the heart of God there. Where else have we seen God being evangelistic throughout the Bible? Feeding the 5,000 people? Yes. Feeding them, going out into them, seeking how to fill them? Yeah. Yeah. He's dispersing, and sometimes we're like, wow, that's so bad, but we see that God is sending his people out. He's commissioning them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Matthew 28, and them doing that then in the book of Acts. Noah? Okay, how Noah?
He built an ark, and his family was helping him, and that showed the people that there was something special coming.
Yeah. Yeah, God even preserving Noah was a good thing. Kevin?
God was also clear to make known the fact that judgment was coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is the story of him redeeming is made known, and that's the message that we then take to share the gospel.
Amen. Yeah. Where else?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, going into the city and talking to them. All throughout the Bible, you're going to see instances. And in every single book, you're going to see an instance of God lavishing out his love upon people and calling out sinners. Calling out sinners. And it's so cool to see how since Adam and Eve, the proto-evangelion, so that it's the first gospel. And in that we see as soon as Adam and Eve mess up, God promises an offspring who's going to come to crush the head of the serpent. This is our God. He doesn't leave people hanging. He doesn't leave them out to dry. But this is who he is. Abraham. He gives Abraham a covenant. And now we get to see the offspring that is coming through Abraham that is to bless all the nations. We see Israel. He told Israel in Exodus 19 that they are to be a kingdom of priests, a people of his possession, who are to be declaring with the world and telling the world who they are. He commissioned them to be that. We see with the prophets, he was continually bringing the prophets who even went to foreign nations and to their own local nation, calling them out, repent and turn to God. Believe in God. Call out to him. Go to him. We see it in the apostles and him sending out the apostles. We see it in the church. You know that God has given you his Holy Spirit and he has empowered you and he is calling you to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to share the good news with those around the world. This is the heart of our God. This is who he is. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm sure you guys are wondering, like, how are all these slides coming together? Trust me, it's going to all come together. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are to become like God is. God is holy. We are to be holy. This is what our holy God does. He evangelizes. He gets out there. He gets dirty even if you want to think about him coming down to earth, leaving heaven, and coming down and dwelling among us. This is who he is. Is this the God that you're following? Is this the God that we're following? Is our lives preoccupied with evangelism as much as it's been God throughout all of time? I mean, it's just amazing to observe. So I want to be bringing it together. If we are following Jesus, we will be fishers of men, right? If this is who our God is, If this is who our God is, if we have an evangelistic God, if we see in Jesus Christ's own life, he's hanging out with women at the well. He's hanging out with Nicodemus late at night. He is with his disciples in boats. He is among crowds preaching the gospel. He is going into sinners' households and eating with them. Even the people who were so despised among their culture and among their people that they wouldn't even get close to him. He's like, he sits down with tax collectors and sinners. What happens if you went into an LGBTQ plus person's home and dwelt among them and ate with them and sharing the gospel with them? Seems revolting, right? To a certain degree. But Jesus hung out with those who in society, or in his own culture at least, were looked down upon, who were cast out aside. This is the Jesus that he was. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus went out fishing for men. How did he do it? He did it in a variety of ways. We've seen that God has fished for men since the beginning of creation. And we are called to conform to the image of Christ and be holy as God is holy. And so I really want us, as we are starting out here at New Hope, to just start out with this basic evangelistic question. If God is continually fishing for men, and I am not, then who am I following, and who am I conforming to? Or what am I conforming to? We can be lazy. Now, some of us are following Christ, right? Some of us are digging in each and every day. But then we're not seeing as many opportunities, maybe as much, or we're like, I haven't really ran into people. There's sometimes as a pastor, when you're working at the church all week, and then you go back home, and go back to church, you're like, who am I reaching? But we need to be asking, what are the opportunities God has given you in your space and in your sphere to be affecting people with the gospel? Where? When is that happening?
Every day.
There is someone, there is a neighbor. Abby and I had some neighbors, and we were able to be sharing the gospel with them and able to be ministering to them, and we were able to be one of them until she died inside her own home just a couple months ago. And what an opportunity that you can just even forget about your neighbors, but they're there and they need it. Coworkers. Who among coworkers? What would Jesus be like in your work environment? What would it be like if he went on the job site with you and were talking with these people? How would he live? How would he be conducting his business? How would he be going about doing his job? What would that look like in his actions, in his words, and in the ways in which he lived? In his neighborhoods, among his family, what would these things look like? And so I want us to be thinking, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If we're following Jesus, are we looking for the opportunities of what he's conforming us into, the image of Christ? The Holy Spirit is working inside of us. Are we missing these opportunities? And if we're running away from Christ, and if we're not living for him or following him, then we recognize we're not going to be reaching people with the gospel. If you guys can turn to Matthew 6, I'll close out on this. So Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and can someone read this for me? Okay, so what is this passage about?
Worship.
Worship. Where's your worship? Where's your attention? What are you focusing on? What are you filling your eye even with? What are you focusing on day in, day out? Right now, I'm renovating a house. All I can think about is how to do the next part of the project. That's just constantly what's on my mind. And I'm starting to realize that that is even overtaking worship for God many times. Because my preoccupation to get done with these things, and it develops also an anxiety in these different things. You're like, well, how am I going to do this? And what am I going to do this? And where am I going to get the money for that? And how is this going to work? And you're trying to figure out all these different pieces of the puzzle. And you're preoccupying yourself with other things. And it's like, rather than entrusting it to God, as I'm filling my eyes with things, I'm filling my thoughts, I'm focusing on something other than the Lord, and it's dominating my life. I want to ask you guys, is there anything that's dominating your life right now that's causing you to lose focus from what God is calling you to in your life? Maybe some of us have been knowing that we need to be getting out and talking to our neighbors, knowing that we need to be evangelizing. Maybe there's something, though, maybe a fear or something else that's preoccupying us, that's driving us away from that. Maybe I just don't have time. I just don't have the ability. I don't have whatever it is. What is dominating you? And have you given that to Christ? Have we confessed where we, Lord, I know you're calling me to be evangelistic in these ways, and I'm just not. I know because you've laid that upon me. Not every single person has the same neighbors. Not every single person has the same job. Not every single person has the same opportunities as each person does. Not every person has the same gifting. He's probably not going to lay upon a mute man preaching to people and be evangelist in that. But where has God called you to be? And who are we following? And who are we running after day after day? And what am I filling my life with that's causing me to live this way? And so I want us to ask these questions as we get the wheels on this bus of evangelism turning here at this church. And as it starts with this small room, I think we probably have, probably about 40 people here. I want us to be thinking then about this, us as a group. How can we be mobilized with reaching people with the gospel and have such a heart for God? One who has been evangelizing since the beginning of time with our race. How can we have that same kind of heart? How can I be more driven for Him and more on fire for Him? What am I filling my life with? So that way I might follow Him in these aspects of my life. So, all right. Well, any questions or anything before we close out this time? I know it's almost like a sermonette, but sorry, I kind of just tend to take over. Edgar.
I'm sure there are ways that we can use to help us out. Evangelizing in that way. Because I feel like I used to do it, but I was kind of too bored.
Yeah. And we're going to probably get into those ways. John and I were talking about evangelism explosion this last week and trying to figure out ways of what's most helpful? Because methods are helpful. So fishy methods are helpful. I can tell you how not to fish here in Idaho. John can tell you how to fish here in Idaho because he catches abundantly more fish than I do. So some methods are better than others. You having troubles with fishing too, Peter? You just catch tons? Yeah. What do you use?
The proper bait.
That's good. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think that's important what John just said. You will not catch any fish if your line is not in the water.
Yep.
You can't catch fish without putting the line in the water. Jesus, while he was here, he was very intentional. That was his purpose. You mentioned he was hanging out with the tax collectors and that. He wasn't just hanging out with them. He was hanging out with them with an intentionality to their soul.
Yep.
Right? And so it's not just, hey, I hung out with my neighbor the other day. But what was you hanging out doing? Was there an intentionality of why you was hanging out with him?
Yeah. Because even sinners do that, right?
Yeah, right.
What is the difference? Is our master, the Lord, is our food to do the will of him who sent us? Are we seeking to be like Jesus in that environment? If Jesus was there, what would he be doing? Because that's what I'm called to be doing. If that's what he would be doing, that's what I'm called to be doing. Because I'm supposed to be following him. Yeah. Any other comments? Questions? Keen. Yeah. Yeah, if you ain't following him, then who are you following? If we're not filling our lives with Christ, if we're not getting into his word, if we're not seeking him in prayer, then who are we following? What are we filling our lives with? What is the master that's preoccupying our life? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about how the desires, how the flesh is opposed to God. If we're not operating in the Spirit, then we're walking in opposition to God. So, yeah, how can we be leading other people to Christ when I myself am seeking to live for myself? Am I going to step out in boldness for him when I'm just running away from him? So, yeah. All right, well, let's close out in prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for New Hope Baptist Church. I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, that you have just placed us together. And God, I pray that in some small way, that today we might just turn our focus to you and maybe just really look at our own lives. What's dominating our life that's derailing us from sharing the gospel, maybe? What are some fears maybe that we have that are doing it, Lord? You said if we follow you, you will make us fishers and men. And Lord, if we're not conforming to your image, if we're not becoming more like you, then God, what are we giving ourselves to? I pray that we might just seek to be evangelistic as you are. Lord, that we might seek to be a people that are like a city on a hill, a lamp on a lampstand. You cannot hide those things. You can see them from so far away. And I pray that we might be that city on a hill, Lord, in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods, God, that the people whom you've given us, that we might be faithful to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we might get this part right. Because it doesn't matter, Lord, if we figure out every methodology of evangelism, if we go to every park and everything, if we do not have a love for you, it does not matter. If you do not build this house, we build in vain. Jesus, it starts with you. And I pray that each one of us might be focused on our relationship with you first and foremost, that might preoccupy us, Lord, because we know that when we love you, we will obey your commands. And you have commissioned us to share the gospel. So help our love for you. Help our focus for you. Help us to submit to you. And help us to walk in your ways that we might live the way in which you lived. And in Jesus' name, amen.